It's time for a British Open update, brought to you by, of course, UNA Golf, this Open Championship. It's all courtesy of Mountland Supply, Zions Bank, Hoops Vision, Siegfried & Jensen, and Black Desert Resort. The man, the myth, the legend, Brian Taylor joins us. BT, how are you?
Hey, BT.
What's up, boy?
Not much. How you doing? You good?
I'm doing great. It's British Open week, or is it the Open Championship week? I'm not sure.
Oh, you just went PK. That's impressive. That was going to be my main question. You know, with you golf elitists out there, is it the Open or is it the British Open?
So I was reading a tweet from, I think it was one of the Golf Channel guys this week, and he claims that when Bobby Jones was handed the claret jug back in the 30s, the head of the RNA said, "You winner of the British Open, Bobby Jones." So Dustin Johnson this week, he came out and he said, "When I was a kid, I called it the British Open, but now I call it the Open Championship." And when asked why the change, he said, "Because that's what it's called now." Classic Dustin Johnson. I think it's one of those things where, you know, it was the British Open. It was always the British Open, and that's all it needed to be at one time. And, you know, now it's this world open. It's the open for everyone. It just, I guess, has a little bigger ring to it. And that's kind of how they branded it. But it is really the world, truly the world's open. And it's wide open field, too.
That's an interesting take. I had a different idea on that. I was thinking, like, if you're in Mexico and you're going to get some food, you don't say, "Let's go get some Mexican food." You just say, "Hey, let's go eat. Let's go get some food." Mm. And so I would think when you're over, you know, across the pond, you just call it the Open. But when you're in our country, it's the British Open.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, over there they call it the U.S. Masters, you know, which is, I mean, to me, that's sacrilegious. Let's be honest. I mean,
they call it that over there.
Yeah, they'll say John Rahm won, or Hideki Matsuyama won the U.S. Masters, because they have a Masters over, they have a British Masters, and there's a few different other Masters around the world. But to me, I mean, let's be honest, there really is only one Masters, and they may have that same attitude about the Open. They may be like, "Well, you got to clarify, it's the U.S. Open, it's not the Open," which is what we hold over here on a 10-course rotation around the British Isles. So. I mean, it certainly is the oldest championship. There's no doubt about that. It has more history than any other. And yet, I think to a man, I mean, we've talked about this on the show, given the opportunity to win one of the four, I think most people would want to slip on a green jacket.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. Is this when you're, if you're ranking your own personal majors, is this fourth, or is it, maybe it depends on where the course is that year? I mean, where are you at on this thing?
Yeah, that's an interesting caveat, because I think it does have something to do with where the course is being played. I mean, if it's at St. Andrews, I mean, the names that have won the Open at St. Andrews. Look, I think the Masters for me is number one, and then just the patriotism in me. I mean, you have to want to win your own national Open, so I would go U.S. Open 2. And then I've always been British Open 3. I mean, the claret jug is just one of those iconic, you know, trophies in sports, and it also – you know, is the oldest championship. And so to go over there and play a different kind of golf, to be able to be good enough to go over and play in sweaters and high winds and knocking shots along the ground. And, you know, it's kind of a cool game. I've had a chance to go over there one time. It's really fun golf. I personally embraced it and enjoyed it. And I think it's fun. It's cool that the whole, you know, the fact that that's where golf was born is appealing to me. So I guess I would go there. The PGA Championship, obviously the Wanamaker Trophy is massive and it's got a lot of history, but I would love to win a Saturday match with my buddies, which I can't do, but the PGA would rank fourth to me, the Wanamaker, on that list.
So one of our listeners just tweeted, he said, "I've got Colin Morikawa for the putter giveaway." And, you know, every major we do this different giveaway. Sometimes it's the driver or the putter. And it's just a great, really fun promotion. And Scotty and I were going back and forth yesterday saying, "All right, well, what would you rather have? One of the top 25 or somebody in the field?" So if you had to take BT, if you had to take a potential winner, would you take the field or somebody out of the top 25?
Are you going world rankings on that top 25?
Yeah.
Yes, world rankings.
Man, that's you know, if there's ever one to win that you would take outside the top 25, it's probably the Open. And if you want to even extend that further, it's probably the Open at Royal St. George's. This thing is played on, I mean, if you took your football cleats and you turned them upside down and you looked at it and you said, that's what our fairway is going to look like, that's pretty much what they did at Royal St. George's.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's you hit it, two guys could hit it right down the middle of the fairway. One of them bounces into a pot bunker, and one of them bounces straight, and they're right, like they could have bounced in the same spot. And so there's a huge element of luck. Maybe I would say there's always an element of luck with Lynx golf and the Open because of the draws and the way the weather can change and the golf course can be affected so much being on that Lynx ground, you know, fully exposed to the elements and whatever. But Royal St. George's in particular is in my opinion, it's the quirkiest of all of the Open rotation. And so you see guys like Ben Curtis, who was 200 and I don't know what he was in the world, and you know Darren Clark, same thing, you know, that have won here the last two. But then you get Greg Norman, who was number one in the world when he won back in 1993. And going all the way back, you've got Harry Barden, the stylist, you know, who won six times at British Open. Two of them were there at Royal St. George's, and Walter Hagen got a pair at Royal St. George's. So Royal St. George's was built to, it was the very first golf course built to be played to host the Open outside of Scotland. So this was supposed to be England's St. Andrews. And let me tell you what, I don't know what they were thinking, but it's nowhere close to, I've never played St. George's. I've watched golf in St. George's. I've had a chance to play St. Andrews. St. Andrews is, it's not even close. I mean, I would play a number of golf courses around the old course, even if I couldn't get on, versus playing there in Sandwich, England. But anyway, nevertheless, what I'm saying, long answer, is I think you could probably get away with the field on this one just because it brings so many different people into play because it's so quirky.
Ryan Taylor joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We do our major pain in the butt where we each pick three golfers. And then the cumulative score determines who's going to be the winner. You want to list off the teams here and see who BT thinks has a chance?
Yeah, so here's the teams. Scotty has John Rahm, Victor Hovland, and Patrick Cantlay. I've got Colin Morikawa, Beefs Lowry, and Louis Oosthuizen.
Wait, what was that second one?
Beefs Lowry.
Lowry?
No, is that his full name is actually Eat More Beef Lowry. It's my favorite. And then Louis Oosthuizen. And Lloyd's got Schauffele, Brooksy, but the real Brooks, and the other Brooksy.
Whoa, so he picked Bryson and Brooks?
Yes, he's got both.
Lloyd's
up to no good. He's up to no good.
All about the entertainment.
It's got the real and fake Brooksy.
You know what? So it'll be interesting to see if Bryson Ball play, you know, how it plays at the Open. As he said, he hasn't brought his length to an Open championship, right? I mean, remember last year, this tournament was canceled due to COVID. It wasn't postponed. It was just flat out, it was postponed to this year, right? It stayed at Royal St. George's, but it wasn't like the U.S. Open was pushed from June to September and still played. The Masters was pushed from March or April to November, still played. So this one just was canceled for the year and came back around this year. So Bryson went and got all pumped up, and all this stuff has happened since the Open was played in July of 19. And so we'll see how Bryson Ball does over there. He even said, I'm not sure how it's going to work, which I'm not sure how it's going to work either, but it'll be entertaining. I can guarantee it'll be entertaining. I like Brooks a lot. I think, you know, Brooks, just all he does is play well in major championships. Who else did you have, Lloyd? Schauffele?
Yes, Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, that's Bob's pick. Jordan Spieth and Schauffele, I think, is Bob, who he went with on our show. And I'm going to go with Scotty. I think John Rahm. I mean, if you get a chance to pick John Rahm and you don't pick John Rahm, you're crazy. I mean, the guy's absolutely on fire right now. He's you know, he's just nothing but top tens and wins and major championships, and he's just playing some incredibly good golf, and he's in a crazy good mental place. I mean, Hans, I think is, I know you would get into this stuff, but if you go back and listen to some of his comments and the way, I mean, a guy that's been known as a fiery Spaniard, a guy that's a little bit of a loose cannon, that's lost his mind and is cool during, you know, down the stretch in contention, mm-hmm. you know, having a baby and the way that shifted his mindset to realize that, hey, you know what, as a professional athlete, I know I'm a role model, quote unquote, but suddenly I got these little pair of eyes that are staring back at me, and that's now I have to be a real role model. And so this kid's going to learn how to, you know, take on life by watching me, and I have to do a better job of setting that example for this little guy. And that whole perspective has just that you know, he credits that with vaulting him and enabling him to handle the pressure, because it puts everything into perspective. And suddenly he's in this mental space that matches his talent, which is ridiculous. And he's just going out there winning golf tournaments. So I mean, John Rahm is absolutely the favorite. Like, going back to my comment about quirky golf and luck, I don't know that he'll win this week, but he's definitely the favorite this week.
Jeez. All of a sudden I realize BT's a better dad than I am, because I never really thought about that stuff.
Oh, I don't know about that.
BT's like, better at everything.
Keep
than
him fed, right. Buy some braces, and off you go.
Yeah. Well,
put some clothes on him.
Something about that green and white, Scotty, versus
orange
and black. I don't know.
Stop.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though, John Rahm, that last big stage performance, what do you think, 230-plus foot putts for birdie in the last, what, three holes to win?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
That was impressive. You know, it's fun to see guys clutch up. I think that's what we watch sport for, is to see how – human beings will perform in the clutch and do things that just you don't think that is going to be done. And that's what John Rahm did at Torrey Pines. It was just, he willed it into the hole. We've seen great players over the years do that, which is, to me, the exciting thing about golf. And then, you know, he had all the emotions to go with it, the fist pumps and all that. And man, that place, that's just exciting stuff. And it'll be fun to see how this one goes this week. But yeah, John Rahm is an interesting study, because I just wondered if he was going to be able to ever get his mind under control and not be snapping clubs and stuff and trying to hit shots, pull off shots he shouldn't in the clutch and give tournaments away. And he seems to have found that happy place as a dad. So we'll see.
I don't know if you've had a chance to watch a lot of these matches with some of these NFL players and Steph Curry, but who's the guy, if you have, who's been the non-golfer that's impressed you the most?
Well, I mean, Steph is impressive because he hasn't been playing for that long. He's picked it up really, really quickly. I mean, you could go pretty much if you had to. I think if you went starting pitchers versus quarterbacks, I think I would go starting pitchers. I think John Smoltz is basically a senior tour player now. He'd probably be my first pick. But that whole Braves bullpen, I think could probably beat most of the NFL quarterbacks. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good players that are taking it up. I mean, Darren Williams is super impressive. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, I've heard some stories recently about him that he's gotten really good. He's playing a bunch up in Park City, and I remember when he was still with the Jazz, when we had our studio at Thanksgiving Point, he'd come out and I got to see him play a little bit, and he was really rough, but he was determined, and he's turned into a really good player. So from a local front standpoint, but yeah, I mean John Smoltz, if I had to take it, that guy's money.
Hey, how does this course fit Phil Mickelson? Can we see him make any noise this weekend?
God, you know what? I mean, do you even talk about Phil Mickelson? And yet he's the reigning PGA Championship winner. I mean, are you kidding me? Phil Mickelson has a claret jug. He was in contention with Henrik Stenson another time down the stretch and won the most amazing duels head-to-head in British Opens that I can remember. Sure, Phil can contend out here. I mean, he's got, if there's a quirky golfer that, could use a little luck going his way. Phil's that kind of guy. So Phil's resurrected himself. He's found this fountain of youth in some sort of coffee concoction that he drinks every morning, and he fasts every other day or whatever he does. And he's just got this new lease on life that includes sunglasses and short shorts. So, I mean, he's 50 whatever and loving life. So yeah, I mean, he's the second greatest player of this generation, and he's playing good golf, and he's got a lot of confidence, and he's freewheeling it. Anything going forward for Phil Mickelson is gravy, where the rest of these guys are still trying to make a mark for their place in the game, and what will history say about, you know, these players and how they do. Phil Mickelson cemented his legacy in the game of golf. He's absolutely one of the best players of all time. And, you know, so anything he can pile on top now is history and gravy and gives him kind of a unique, a place amongst all the greats. So, yeah, I think he could do something. But, again, Phil's one of those guys where if you were putting some money on him, you just have to know you might strike it big or you might just lose it all real, real quick.
Well, BT, it is time for our UNA Golf Open Championship contest where, again, Lloyd, be calling number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. And caller number 12 will receive a golfer, and if that golfer wins, they'll win the same putter. Lloyd, do you know who the golfer is today that the guy is going to be assigned?
Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas. So what do you think?
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I'd be caller 12. I'd get on the phone right now. Justin Thomas is a good one.
All right. It's all brought to you by UNA Golf, serving Utah golfers since 1971. BT, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
You're the best, brother.
Home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, if I'm not mistaken, right?
There, love it.
Correct, man.
Hey, also, just let me throw this in real quick. A lot of local fans wondering how Tony's going to do. Doing a little research on him. Look, he's got all top 10s in his last three major starts. And interesting enough, in four British Opens, his first one, he went 18th, 27th, and then 9th and 3rd the last time it was played. So, let's not forget, he's not in a premier group. He goes off at 5:53 a.m. tomorrow morning Mountain Time with Billy Horschel and Adam Hadwin. But, I don't think he's playing his best golf right now, but he always gets up for majors, and he's got a pretty decent record there at the British. So, anyway, just wanted to toss that in there.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, I hope he can produce, man. It shocks me how little television actually puts Tony Finau out there. I think he's an amazing story.
Yeah,
I wish they'd put him out there more.
No doubt.
That's W, and he'll be out there every time on the television.
That's true.
For sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Brian Taylor, Real Golf Radio. You hear it every Saturday mornings. BT, you're the best, man.
You got it. Thanks, boys.